All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Common Sense Show.tv, commercial-free, censorship-free, as you know. And this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report on the network. And we have my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, former combat Marine, former military contractor. That means he knows a little bit about the military-industrial complex. He might be one of the guys that Eisenhower warned us about. Who knows? And he also is a former DHS. Battled Antifa, battled the border patrol, border forces. And we got a lot of stuff. We really got two shows here, Doug. Let me ask you this, okay? And sometimes it's good to pontificate on air. The meeting you told me about yesterday, can we talk about that?
Yes, we're going to have to be a little bit specific. And
you can't say the agency. I get it.
Yeah,
we can talk about location.
We can talk about multiple, the information.
Yeah. Multiple jurisdictions, correct?
Yeah. Well, it's every jurisdiction is involved. Every one of them. Yeah. It's a big deal. Like it's going to be.
Doug, one of my BP's sources, his supervisor told him about 75% of what you told me last night. Folks, you're wondering, what are we going to talk about here? We're debating. I think we should put the other thing off till tomorrow. I think we should do the border. What do you think?
Well, it's fresh in my mind, and I'm going to be there.
And not only that, Doug, but the interview I had with L.A. Marzulli was absolutely incredible. But I'd like to separate a little bit. I mean, that was just yesterday. And I'd like to separate a little bit here. And I want to – the border is just so much on my mind. I was telling John B. Wells about what we're going to talk about. And he had a holy poop experience when he listened to this. And then Paul, I was talking to Paul Preston about it late last night. He called me on another issue and he's got a little bit of this. He knows some of it. And he calls me and I told him what you and I had talked about. And he says, okay, you're on the show at 7 o'clock. So we aired some of this, but I was pretty general because I'm not going to fry your main source, but I'm telling you, Doug, what we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, I got 75% of what you told me from the Border Patrol source via his supervisor. So the word's going down the ranks, Doug. This is not, let's put it this way. If they meant to keep this secret, they've done a piss poor job because that's not happening.
Well, it's not that it's secret information and it's not that it's law enforcement sensitive information. It is what it is. And what we're talking about is the border. What we're talking about is the ending of Title 42, March 11th. And I have information that states, and I'm not going to break down everything that was said during the meeting. I'll just talk about the parts that are probably the most, the most important. Right now, we are facing Title 42 ending. That's the stay in Mexico policy. And Juarez, Mexico, right across the river from El Paso, you have about 30,000 or more migrants from all over the world who are ready to walk into El Paso. 30,000 people or more, right? Now, there's at least 6 to 8 border stations in Texas. And from what I was told is that every border station is facing the same population of people who are going to walk over. And that estimate is around 300 to 500,000 people. 300 to 500,000 people across the entire border. So at every border station, just in Texas, like I said, 6 to 8, you have 30,000. You probably have 4 or 5 in New Mexico. You probably have 4 or 5 in Arizona. And then you have, you know, at least 5 that I can remember, or 4 that's in California. Now, with all those people.
That's about 17, 18.
Yeah. With all those people, I mean, we're talking high end. Possibility is that 500,000 people are going to walk into our country in one day. Let's talk about some relative problems with that. for one, there's already max population at all of the border checkpoint stations that are housing people. They're already filled to the max, and they're trying to get people out of there. Okay, so there's problem one. Problem two is that if you cannot fill these people coming across the border, and they are going to come across the border, if you cannot fill these locations, then you'll have to find alternate locations, or you're going to find large masses of people rambling through cities. And that means that they're going to be everywhere and anywhere. And you're going to have all different types of criminality problems from there. The discussion has already been to seize, if possible, and seize is my word, not their word, but seize available hotels to store migrants in. Probably also use any spare space where people can be laid down at, like let's say an airport or a large industrial area.
Before we go real in depth, can we back up just for a second, talk about numbers?
Yeah.
Because I think it's important we put the range out there, and then I want to go into what you're talking about. And you're talking about precursor to martial law, and that's the words of the Border Patrol person I talked to. Let me give you the numbers here. The numbers, as you express them here, come to about 540,000.
Yep, that's
18 stations, 30,000 a pop. Okay, that's 540,000. So over a half a million in one day. The number I was given by my Border Patrol source, he said, we expect 800,000 in one day. And he didn't say anything about there being a pretty equal distribution. He didn't say there wasn't. He didn't mention what you mentioned. So we have a range here. So, Doug, I think we can say this is a range. We're going to have anywhere between 540 and 800,000 people cross our border in one day. Do you think that's fair to say that?
Well, I'm tragically off. I wasn't Border Patrol. Our agency only assisted with special missions with Border Patrol. But from what I'm reading, there are 48 U.S.-Mexico border crossings with 330 ports of entry. So POEs, or ports of entry, is what I was referring to, and that was the large ones. Like in El Paso, you have Bridge of the Americas, BOA. That was the one where most people come back and forth in vehicles. These people are going to be walking. They're not going to be in vehicles. They're going to be on foot and walking. Now, what does that do? What that does immediately is that ties up all first responders. So immediately you're going to tie up all first responders. So if all law enforcement is focused on these large moving populations of people, that's a city's worth of people in a herd moving forward. You're going to have fire, medical, you're going to have the security guards, you're going to have all the police there.
Let's go down that road in just a second. The number you're giving me here is 1.45 million.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Look,
so the Border Patrol is the low end estimate at 800,000.
Well, just remember this. It's an old saying that we always have, is that however many we catch or we process, you can always times that by three or higher that get away. That's the gotaways that Trump used to speak about.
6 to 1 is what Trump used to say.
Yeah. So how big is it? Who knows? I was told to keep my eyes on the border between the 11th and the 18th. That's going to be a mass rush that first week, the 11th to the 18th. And most likely they will seize the border. They'll stop certain border stations from allowing people to come across to be processed. And if you do that, that's martial law. Here's one aspect of this is that even if you do shut down a port of entry, they're just going to walk around it. They're going to climb over the fences or cut through the fences. We saw that all the time.
Yeah.
So you can't stop the flood of people. You know, Dave, a nice big damn wall would have helped, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Democrats?
Do you agree with this assessment that the wall that Trump had designed was to stop light infantry attack?
Well, that's one of the things that we proposed.
Okay.
You know, I was there for the original building of the wall. And we were there for the prototypes in California, in San Ysidro Port of Entry. And the actual wall that we wanted was the Jurassic Park wall. That's what we ended up calling it. It went 25 feet down, and it was 50 feet up and 3 feet wide. Solid concrete. That's what we wanted. And that was actually the cheapest and the fastest one to be built. And then the higher-ups ended up going with these slats so that we could then see people on the other side. The only problem is that if we can see them, then they can see us. And they ended up being tall enough, and people were using ladders and ropes. And then you have all different types of injuries from that because people fall all the time. Dave, we had to rush this one lady to the hospital back in 2018. She was 67, and she was a grandmother, climbed up a ladder. And when she got to the top and we're like, don't jump, what'd she do? She jumped from 20 feet. Broke both her legs. You know who paid for that? We did. We paid for that. Yeah, that's $10,000 sitting in your bank that you don't have anymore. And times that by probably $2,000 or $3,000 a day. You know, they underestimate the real atrocity that's on this border. It is an economical disaster what's happening. Not just a humanitarian, it's an economical disaster. Which part do you want to move on to next? There's a lot of moving parts here. There's a lot of information.
Okay. Remember what I said, the information I got was 75% of what you and I've already discussed.
Yeah.
So let me start small and you expand it.
Okay.
Okay. There's going to be, because of the rush into the streets and lawlessness, you mentioned this already yourself, first responders aren't going to be able to do their job. In particular, you're going to have health events that will go ignored. But more importantly, for the greater number, you're going to have breaking and enterings into businesses and residences that the police won't have the manpower to stop.
Correct.
And the numbers, this is what I was told. They fear that the numbers involved in a break-in won't be two or three. It'll be 20 or 30, and a homeowner won't have a chance, even if they're armed.
Correct.
You agree with that?
Yes. Right now in El Paso, you have groups, and it's on the local news in El Paso, so we're not giving anything away. It's law enforcement sensitive. You have roving groups of people in the hundreds, not the fives, not the tens, not the 20s, groups of hundreds of people roving from block to block. And when they see La Migra drive by, immigration, they take off and run for whatever reason. I mean, you're already here in the States, and they take off and run. Now, there's a church that's downtown El Paso that I'm going to go and visit. I'm going to keep that disclosed for right now. That apparently is one of the main proprietors for people to come and get, quote, assistance from. It's an NGO, non-government agency, non-government organization. And I believe, because I have been told by multiple law enforcement now, that there is most likely criminality being done here, because it is the most violent part of the entire city now around this church. And the law enforcement, both locals, state, the federal, they are, I don't want to say the word afraid, but they are afraid to even drive down this area because they may have to be engaged in a policing action with hundreds to potentially thousands of people around you. And what ends up happening is you just can't do anything. Like, so if there's a big fight that starts off and you got thousands of people out there, well, immediately that turns into crowd control. So that turns into riot control that fast. All right. We don't have the numbers. As a guy who led riot teams, I'm telling you right now, we don't have the numbers for that. We don't have the ability to detain all these people. We don't have the ability to gas all these people right now. I've already been told that the logistics are not there for this. And the logistics means a lot, right? If there's a, God forbid, there's a mass, what do we do? Okay. God forbid 30,000 people walk across the border. How do we know they have guns or not? What are we going to do if they do? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing you can do. They're deploying 1,500, I think, National Guardsmen. Do you know what they're going to do? Administrative only. No law enforcement actions. They're not being deputized to assist in law enforcement. They're going to be doing paperwork and transportation. So here's another problem, is that if we lose control of multiple cities, and I can only speak for Texas, okay? If we lose control of multiple cities, rumor, suspicion, is that Greg Abbott would be forced to shut down the border, go against federal laws, closing down the border without the federal government's permission, and more or less is stating that if Biden contests the shutting down of the border, Greg Abbott's going to say, up yours, come and move us. We'll see. We'll see if that really happens. Okay, here's another one. Terrorists are getting through. Terrorists are getting through. Regardless of what you hear, regardless of what you say or what you think, if you've never been to the border, you just don't understand the madness that the Mexican-U.S. border is. Every day, tens of thousands of people cross this border, and hidden amongst these sheep are wolves. Your terrorists from all over the world, especially Islamic jihadis, are crossing the border every single day. Rumor is that the FBI knows about it and is letting them go so that they can be tracked. Rumor is that now law enforcement agencies are concerned that another terrorist attack may happen because of this. Now, this has been going on for who knows how long. Who knows how long that Border Patrol has been coming into contact with, you know, possible terrorists, and they're just being released into the interior of the United States for the FBI to monitor and track. So, you know, would the FBI, let me ask you this, Dave, if the FBI came out and said, oh yeah, we've been doing that, we know that they're terrorists, we let them go into the interior of the United States as an illegal, quote, immigrant now, so that we can track their movements. Do you think they would be in trouble for that?
They should be, but they won't.
Who's going to tell the FBI no?
Yeah.
Congress?
Go ahead and finish that thought. I'm going to pull up something here.
More or less what we have right now is even Congress, due to the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scandals with the briberies, which just recently came out. You did a YouTube video on this today, Dave.
On what?
The stuff that's coming about with Joe Biden being bribed.
This is what I'm attempting to find.
So the Congress says that we cannot trust the FBI and the Department of Justice to do their job because they've been covering up evidence of criminality. So we're going to subvert you and go around you, leave you out of the investigation.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I want to be real specific. You cut me off at the kneecaps because that's what I was looking up. I was going to read to you verbatim what they said. They went through the form they claim the FBI is hiding. My term, obfuscating the truth, I believe was the term here. Let me click that off. And they go through all the things that Biden's supposed to have done, pay for play with a foreign entity, basically. Okay, so all that having been said, what's interesting here is that these people listed all the stuff, said, we're going to investigate, and our investigation will not include you because you can't be trusted, as you just said, to the DOJ and to the FBI. And the letters were addressed to Merrick Garland, the AG, and Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI. Yeah, so you were on my YouTube site today, huh?
Hey, occasionally I listen.
I feel honored.
Occasionally I listen to what you say. Hey, look, you're right, though. You know, your summations of this are correct.
Well, there's no margin for error because I read directly from the congressional document.
Yeah. It's the same one that I read today. I don't trust Congress to do their job. Congress doesn't trust the DOJ and the FBI to do their job. The Pentagon doesn't trust anybody, and the CIA is playing everybody. So what are we, the people, left to do? Let me give you some down-home advice for anyone who lives on the Southwest border. So anyone who lives on the U.S. and Mexico border, you need to brace for impact for what's about to happen. You are going to be driving down the road one day, and you are going to see groups of 20s to hundreds to possibly thousands of people moving from city to city or being bused from city to city. What you're also going to do is you're going to have an enormous amount of people at the average place that you go and shop at. So Walmart, you know, the places where you go to pick up groceries, these people are going to be there buying their own groceries and all this other stuff. And they're not Americans. They don't think like you. They don't react to things the way you do. They don't speak your language, most likely. Their customs are not the same as yours. And if you happen to cut one of them off or look at one of them sideways or say something snarky to them, you just might get shanked over it, because in third world countries, it's blood for blood a lot of times. There's not laws. And most of these people are hungry. They've been homeless. They're riddled with diseases. And I've already got that one proven. They're riddled with diseases. They have no hope. They have nowhere to go. Okay. They, for whatever reason, decided to show up here and thought that we were just going to give them all mansions in Hollywood. And what's happening in Texas?
We should.
I absolutely.
That's where
agree.
We should move all of them. Yeah.
Send them to Kamala. Nancy Pelosi has what, a 14 bedroom house?
Free ice cream for the immigrants. Yeah.
So what I propose is that every night you go to sleep, if you have a garage, put your car in the garage. If you don't have a gun, you better go and get one tomorrow, and you better know how to use it, because these people, and I have a couple videos that I have seen so far. The one, it's here in Texas. There was 14 men surrounded a woman's home. They knew she was in there.
Oh.
She told them to leave. They laughed when she produced the gun. They laughed. Okay. You have no idea who these people are, but many of them are MS-13. Many of them are former cartel. I know right now the highest population of people that are coming across the border, at least in Texas, are from Venezuela. You have no idea if that is a communist army that was told to march north. The gates are open. You have no idea. These are not people that you need to go out and greet with a hug like all the dumb white girls do in Europe, and they end up getting raped and chopped up. Remember all that, everyone? Remember all the African migrants and all the Middle Eastern migrants? And then you had some woke white girls will walk around. Oh, they're just people, and they just need love. And then they're raped to death, and then they're dismembered. Yeah, that's the rest of the world, you know. Stupid suburban housewives who know nothing and want to Karen your way through the world. I've already been dealing with a couple of those comments. Someone called me a xenophobe the other day. You don't like people coming across the border because you're xenophobic. Okay, that's fine. I'm an isolationist. I'm completely okay with being an isolationist. If you want to go live in war as Mexico, then by all means, go live in the beast and tell me how long you last. The problem, Dave, which is about to be everybody's problem, is that America is being taken over by third world nations. We invaded the world at one point. Now the world's invading us, and Joe Biden is ensuring that it's going to hit our capital system. If you stop the border just in Texas, the last estimate I heard for that is that Texas gets about, I think it was like $8 billion a week. I think it was a week. That comes from freight and train. So if you close the border, what does that hurt immediately? Our economy. You know that thing that the Congress and politicians don't give a shit about? Our economy. So immediately our economy's hit. You're going to get child molesters, people who've already been deported 4 or 5 times. And a lot of these guys, man, that are in these cartels and these gangs, they are like super satanic. Like, They literally still do rituals where they cut people's hearts out in Mexico. That's still happening. These people, a lot of them are hyper violent. Oh, and by the way, when I was there in 2018, let me tell you some of the fun things we dealt with. The plague, MERS, SARS, various different COVID viruses. We had Ebola that we dealt with, swine flu, bird flu, we had typhoid, polio, okay, vaccine resistant, by the way. And right now, from what I was told, is the rapes are going up. There was recently, I believe he was Venezuelan, he was a teenage boy. He was raped by a group of men while they were all waiting to be picked up by Border Patrol and transported to one of the housing units where they're all being housed. So, you know, these are all, most of them, are single males of fighting age between the ages of 16 and 15.
Yep. Yep.
Family groups, not so much. Single males showing up on our border, already raping each other, already fighting each other, already killing each other. They have every type of disease that America thought that they abolished with our, you know, pathological advances. It's all coming right back. And this is, you know, this is the people that George Soros, Beto O'Rourke, the Democratic Party, This is what they've been paying down in Mexico City, because that's where their advisors are, giving them their bus tickets, giving them visas, like prepaid $500 Visa cards. We were pulling that off of every single migrant. Every single one had a prepaid $500 card or a Greyhound bus ticket.
Where'd they get it?
Oh, Democratic Party, because we got the brochures of Beto O'Rourke. We had the brochures from Beto O'Rourke and the Democratic Party. I mean, half of us speak Spanish. So what do you think we do? We talk to these people. Who the hell told you to come here? Who gave you the money to get here? This one dude from China, all right, cost him, I think it was $20,000 to get from China, smuggled to Africa. From Africa, I think he went to Peru, and then from Peru, up north he went, all right? He changed hands with a lot of people. Remember how COVID spread, right? Whatever new variants are out there, they're about to hit America. They're already hitting in Europe, and supposedly this one is deadly and dangerous and all that other stuff that we get told all the time.
The flavor of the month. I know. Yeah. I know.
I'm not worried about COVID. It's Ebola that I worry about. It's Ebola and the Marburg's disease. That's what I worry about.
Well, the Marburg's disease, you combine it with smallpox. Smallpox. You can get Ebola effects out of that. Here's something that John Wells told me today, and I thought this was interesting. He hit on something that I'm going to take down this path, but I'll start with what John said. He was discussing the jab changing mRNA, and he said, because they have done that and they've patented the jab, therefore you are their slave because they own the process, and the process is now within you. And John said that. Let me tell you what I know is true about Ebola. It's on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com. You can use the search engine to look it up. So here's the deal, Doug. And they, I think it was 2013, the CDC patented Ebola. And I'd asked a lawyer about this. I said, can they do this? I said, I've got the patent right here. I got the number. I've got all the specifics. And he said, only if they modify it because it's something natural. And so, therefore, Ebola is weaponized.
Yeah, they had to screw with it.
Exactly. Otherwise, they couldn't patent it, because the CDC owns the rights to Ebola. Now, here's the other thing that came out. This is even goes farther than what John Wells said today. They own any medical intervention for Ebola. So they own the medical process. So if you get Ebola, the government owns you, or I should say the CDC. The CDC is like the Federal Reserve. It's quasi-governmental. It's not truly government. It's a public-private partnership that has a charter with certain powers on it. Now, here's something else they have, Doug. This is where the conspiracy really grows. In 2009 to 2012, a group at Crucell, it's spelled C-R-U-C-E-L-L. You can't look it up now. They've scrubbed it. But Crucell Laboratories marketed from a patent that they got. And not only that, the claims they were making from research was that they had developed an antidote through a vaccine for Ebola. And I'm sure it was the weaponized Ebola, but that's a summary judgment on my part. Now, here's what happened. I published the results and I published some of the data on my website, and they scrubbed it all, but it's on my website still, and I have hard copies of it. So, Doug, here's the deal. The CDC, this is where I'm headed with this. And God knows what else they're going to do to us and who's going to profit. But right now, the CDC can profit from infecting people with Ebola and then treating it. In other words, Doug, what they have is a motive to unleash Ebola and treat it. They have a financial incentive.
Well, I just pulled up Canada's Ebola vaccine. After the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, 2014-15, a vaccine was quickly brought to clinical trial in the field. However, the development of an Ebola vaccine represents a great Canadian scientific effort and international collaboration that spanned almost two decades. The success of the vaccine may mean the end of Ebola virus infection as a global health threat. The development of an effective Ebola vaccine by Canada's National Microbiology Laboratory is a great Canadian contribution to global public health. A linked study to CMAJ reports on a phase one trial of a recombinant vesicular stomatitis virus, VSV, Ebola vaccine developed in Canada This is the story of its development. So in 1997, Yoshiro Kawaoka created a new tool for the study of the Ebola virus. He developed a replication incompetent of the virus vector that had a green fluorescent protein gene in place of the VSV glycoprotein. Ebola virus glycoprotein was supplied to the virus as it formed in the cell culture for a separate expression. So in 1997, they were developing the vaccine and they were messing with the Ebola virus. Canada was. So if it's scrubbed from the U.S. records, it's not scrubbed from the Canadian records. And that's the first.
If it's not listed as Crusell Laboratories, it's scrubbed.
Yeah.
Seriously, Doug, I know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, I tried looking it up.
Yeah.
Spell Crusell again for me.
Crusell is spelled C-R-U-C-E-L-L. It's gone. I'll put this to the test too, and we'll pull this up here jointly. And you won't find it. I believe you'll find it if you go to my website on the search engine. But this what they started the research in 08. And I got to tell you, you know what else came out in 08? Canadian studies that showed that Ebola was aerosolized. I'm sure you know this, being in DHS, but the general public believes you can only transmit it through bodily fluids like AIDS.
No, we got the brief. And in fact, you and I were talking, I think, at that time. We had gotten the brief that Ebola was aerosolized. And that it could be in water vapor, it could live up to 15 days or more on a door handle.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's out of Canada. That was Canadian research.
Yeah, there's quite a bit that we were getting an intel update on. This was pre-op, so before we went to the actual op. And it scared the hell out of everybody. Because Ebola is like certain death. Horrific certain death.
Yeah, the incubation period's longer than what they tell us, too. Yeah. Let me read to you what I found here. I just pulled up some things. And quite frankly, I'm surprised as I have equipment issues here.
So while you're doing that, I'll talk about this. Something.
Let me read you some headlines here that I got on. I went to Google, believe it or not. And Crusell to make Ebola vaccine for NIH unit. So that's Anthony Fauci material. They got a $21.5 million contract. And let me see if I can pull up the year here. I see this is the kind of research I was doing in 2014 because Border Patrol people were telling me, hey, we got to change clothes before we go home because we don't want to carry these diseases home to our families. Okay. The date, they don't list a year here. They have June 5th through the 8th and I don't see a year. How bizarre is that?
Well, I have the immunization for Ebola virus infection patent number, US 685232-4-1.
I got it here, too. Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Inventor Gary J.
Do you have a date on that?
Yeah, 1998 and 2005.
Okay, here's what I got.
And it says that the current assignee is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
HHS?
Yeah.
You can buy the profile for $50. Okay. Latest information update. Ebola virus vaccine, Crusell/Vaccine Research Center. But I had their quarterly studies, Q1, Q2, and so forth, and they scrubbed that. This is new, and I'm right it's new, because listen to this. The data publication that I have is November 25th, 2021. And what it says right here, it's classified as synthetic vaccine, viral vaccine. Its developer is the Crusell Vaccine Research Center. Okay. And I had them down initiating this in February of 2008. And I'm finding that date here listed under the patent for most recent events.
Well,
that's really interesting.
What we're talking about now. Is multiple agencies playing with this. HHS, you have CDC, you have Crusell Laboratories, and also the Canadian laboratories.
Oh my God. I found the mother load here. This was not here when I researched this before. This is from Reuters. This is recent. Crusell wins Ebola Marburg contract. Shares increase. Does this bother you people that the CDC and the NIH can own stock? That should bother all of you because then they're working for their own profit, not to the betterment of the American people. And they quote here how the stock was affected. It's the organization they're working through to do this is U.S.-based Southwest Foundation for Biomedical Research and the U.K.-based Quintiles, the Guy's Drug Research Unit. So these are the two sponsors. They're the underwriters of what we're talking about. Ebola and Marburg viruses. What did I just say, Doug? Smallpox plus Marburgs equals Ebola.
I don't know exactly what I'm reading right now. But if I'm correct, I'm really glad I have a flamethrower.
Why is that?
So this is from the Journal of Infectious Diseases. And in... Oh, man. An inactivated rabies virus-based Ebola vaccine. And it's a filorabie. That's the vaccine. Adjuvanted with glucopyrrolinosal lipid A in stable emulsion confers complete protection in non-human primate challenge models. West African Ebola virus disease outbreak. Blah, 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 blah. Lies, lies, lies. So apparently they decided to, I guess for whatever reason, mix rabies and Ebola together to make a vaccine. Like, how close to zombie plague virus can we get? Rabies, Ebola. The only answer for that is fire and more fire, which is why I'm super glad I have this handy little gardening tool. Called a flamethrower.
In response to an article I wrote, I got fact-checked. Does the CDC own a patent for Ebola? True. The CDC patented a strain of Ebola in 2010. False. The CDC created Ebola and obtained a patent for it to restrict or profit from the development of a vaccine. That false statement is false unto itself. The CDC patents a strain of Ebola. They modified it so they can call it a strain. Okay. So that's true. And they admit to this here on this fact checking site. Then they go on to say the CDC created Ebola and obtained a patent. Okay. Do I think that that Ebola was created? Yeah, just like AIDS, but it may not have been the CDC or the NIH. Okay. So this is technically a true statement. The CDC created Ebola and obtained a patent for it to restrict or profit from the development of vaccine. They're saying that's false. Okay, but they admit that they created the strain. The strain is an offshoot, a variant from Ebola itself, which is why they're allowed to patent it. Otherwise, they couldn't patent Ebola. This is what's ridiculous. And you notice here, this is in response to what I wrote about Crusell. They say, or profit from the development of a vaccine. Well, if you own the Ebola strain, you own the royalties to the treatment. And I made the argument the same as John Wells did here with the vaccines for COVID, that you technically own the human being if it's inside their body. You can do anything to anybody you want because they're your property. So I didn't know that they fact checked me on this. This is Ebola patent. Now let's bring this back to immigration, Doug. I think we've gone down this rabbit hole and we're going to have to do some more research on it because I'm surprised. They scrubbed all this crap in 2016, 2015, when I was all over this. They have now put out new stuff on the net after they scrubbed the original. And I'm surprised they're linking Crusell into the patent for the virus, the vaccine. Okay, but let's bring this back. If you're going to unleash these people and you're going to have, by the way, the Border Patrol guy told me, he was told they expect the immigration to top out between 30 to 50 million. He said, when this dies down, we'll be at the 30 to 50 million mark, according to his supervisor. If you bring in low end 30 million people, because Ebola exists in the world and we're getting immigrants from every continent except for Antarctica, this is inevitable that Ebola is going to be here, or Marburgs. And guess what they work on in the Wuhan lab? I found this out a couple of years ago, Marburgs. So without even bringing China into this, people crossing the border could have vials of Ebola and let it loose, or they could be releasing what, you know, we like to call infectons.
That's
and this the, is
That's the most plausible one from what we discussed was that was the most plausible. We actually had a concern that terrorists would try to smuggle in people who had Ebola that were purposely given Ebola and then to drop them off in multiple metropolitan cities. And within just a matter of multiple days, you could potentially have 20, 30 cities infected with Ebola. And here's the bad thing. Is that the incubation rate eventually got advanced, I think, like 20 to 30 some odd days for incubation and could be passed physically through aerosol and also sexually.
There you go. Well, we know about the sexual because that's bodily fluids.
Right.
But the aerosol is the big thing that caught my attention because it contradicted everything we'd ever been told about Ebola.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let's do a hypothetical real quick. How evil do you think China is?
They're as evil as any nation ever has existed on the earth.
So along the routes where these migrants are going to be going, coming here, okay, sitting in war as Mexico right now, you have NGOs, non-government organizations from America and other parts around the world who are feeding them, giving them water. Do you know how hard it would be to take your new novel virus and put into a bunch of food or a bunch of water to give out to a large group of people who are going to be traveling together with all different types of variant of diseases already, knowing that the incubation rate is within a week to 2 weeks before the infection really starts to show up. Oh, and by the way, you time it for when Title 42 ends. And by the end of this month, we could have, 300,000 to 500,000 infected people walking across the border. That's an extreme hypothetical. But China has already said that they want to kill us with biological agents. So for my job, you have to think outside the box, especially with the military and law enforcement. You have to think outside the box. You have to think what could be, a plausible way to hurt America, to hurt the American civilians. And that is very much an easy, plausible way because bioweapons are cheap and humans are the carriers. And because humans are the carriers, they're going to go to where? Homeless shelters, people's homes. They're going to go to the parks. They're going to go to the grocery stores. They're going to be going in and out of the doctor's offices, the social security offices. So they're going to be touching a lot of things while infected. It's a dastardly way to
hurt
people.
Let's talk about central to what you're saying is the length of the incubation period.
Right.
And I just, when you were talking here, I went through the list and the CDC, the NIH all say 2 to 21 days.
Correct.
21 days is concerning, but let me tell you, I'm on a site right now and this was something, now this is not Canada, but back in 2015, 2016, when I was researching this hard, the Canadians were telling us it could be up to 6 weeks, okay? And that was in their research, and that was the doorknob transmission research and all that. So anyway, here's what this group is. It's from eMedicine Health, and it's the Infection Center, and they've documented here up to 41 days.
Yep.
41 days is 6 weeks, and this is what the damn Canadians told us. So you could infect someone, I don't know, at the Guatemalan-Mexican border, and by the time they cross the border, you know, you might see a peak in the manifestation of Ebola. Holy crap. This is why this is so serious. Now, back in 2014, when we had the first Central American invasion of a large scale, they had the beast train, you remember all that stuff, the Border Patrol, I met my two Border Patrol sources in 2014, and they were telling me, and they had, these guys were in the field then, and one of them still is, one isn't. And they were telling me that they had to change clothes and shower before they went home because of the fear of taking all kinds of exotic diseases home. Dengue fever was the big one they were worried about, but they were concerned about Ebola. At that same time, Doug, I interviewed Dr. Jane Orient, who was the president of the Arizona Medical Association, and she was eviscerating Obama for letting this happen. And she said, we are facing potentially a health crisis of monumental proportions. She said, we could have dengue fever, smallpox, Marburg's, Ebola. We could have multiple disease gestations going on inside the United States and overwhelm the system.
And she COVID's got her way ass, down the line.
Well, let me just finish this point. She got her ass kicked by HHS. HHS tried to get her removed. Tell them the truth.
Yeah. And COVID's way down the line on diseases that we're concerned about.
It's not deadly unless you're elderly and have comorbid conditions.
Yeah, but Ebola will kill you. Ebola will kill you.
90% mortality rate.
I think,
and you don't last 10 days.
I think in Texas, whenever this was going on in 2018, I believe we documented 16 people with Ebola.
Mm-hmm. That's about right.
So just consider this, okay? Consider the one doorknob on the one, you know, Chevron station that everybody uses. And let's just say San Antonio, because that's where at least 8 of them were. And these were all African migrants. Okay, so at this one gas station where they're all hanging out, a place that in 1 week could potentially see a couple hundred people or more, and let's just say half of them use the restroom. And let's say half of them are men, okay? And it's that same doorknob where the men who are infected with the Ebola have been touching. So you could very quickly see 25 people or more in 1 week, maybe even 1 day, touch that same doorknob. And then from there, it goes to what? Anything and everything they touch. And supposedly the way it's told to us is whatever they touched and then you touched, well, now you're a carrier.
All right. I want to leapfrog to something. Can you talk about the airlines or not?
Yeah, let's be...
I'll let you handle the narrative because then I have an observation.
Okay, so right now, and this is a theory, but if we do have this gross amount... if we do have this gross amount of people coming over the border, which is going to happen, we need to move them to whatever their destination is in the United States. So either by bus, by train, or by plane. Well, whatever it is that you bought, purchased, plane ticket-wise, supposedly, is probably going to be canceled. And then the migrants are going to take priority. Even to the point that I could see the government prioritizing private airlines, commercial airlines, to transport people. And I thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, well, why isn't the military doing it? And I was told that the military is being kept out. Military is being kept out of it. Well, just consider this, okay? If you have all these migrants who are now going to be rubbing elbows with people from the United States, what an amazing vector to spread disease.
Okay, let me elaborate on that. If the incubation can be up to 41 days, or even if it's just 21 days, as the CDC says, you've got people now that are transported by airline from border states to the interior of the country. Some of those same planes you would have to estimate would also be flying into foreign countries. So now you have a global pandemic that emanates from the United States. And so let's say like United Airlines, right? They mm-hmm. take immigrants, let's say to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and they take off from that airport and they go to San Diego and then to Hawaii. And from Hawaii, they do a leg to Japan. That's what I'm talking about. And this could all easily happen within a 3 week period.
Well, yeah. And why now? Why didn't he end Title 42 earlier?
Because I think this is a panic move.
Well,
they're getting their ass kicked in Congress.
This has to do with the election. Just like the Ukrainian war, just like the economy.
There could be an election.
And now this new potential spread of viruses or whatever. And look, they're going to say humanitarian, humanitarian, humanitarian. I'm telling you, it's spreading violence, viruses, terrorism. That's what's spreading. And all of this makes sense because why not do it just a couple months before 2024, the election cycle starts up. So you can screw everything up. Could you imagine what the 2024 election cycle would look like if half the country or more had to be in a martial law status because you couldn't go outside because there's so many different variants of deadly diseases being spread amongst the populations? Now, look, that's an extreme thought. Okay, that's an extreme hypothesis. But it's plausible. It's easily plausible. That's how bioweapons work. You put them on a human. They are the transportation tool. And then from there it spreads and you just let it spread like wildfire.
Yeah, exactly. Over, that's the goal.
Yeah. Over here in Texas, we're going to
complete that thought I started with Congress.
Good.
Okay. Congress can do nothing legally to these people because there is no justice in this country against Democrats or leftist interests or subversive communist interests. So there's no justice, but the Democrats are going to keep exposing this and the public's going to become more and more aware of the Republicans because they want to get elected in 2024, assuming there's an election. So they're politicking right now. They're running for office by exposing the criminality of the left. Okay. You notice they're not exposing their own rhinos and Unipart members like Mitch McConnell is a traitor, but they are bringing awareness. Okay. The Democrats are in a panic because they're being exposed now on all levels. Okay. They may have got rid of Tucker, but it's just fueling right wing media outlets like Newsmax, One American News, this site, your site. So people are flocking to us. And they've lost the information battle, and they need to accelerate their takedown of America before Americans wake up and rise up in mass and chase them from office. And I think they don't need a nuclear war. They need infectons crossing the border that will paralyze life in this country. And if Ebola is a 90% fatal organism, and it is, and there's no cure, it's only comfort care till you die. Can you imagine? If say you had 50% death rate in this country, or even 30%, this country stops. Nothing's being shipped. This is why I sell the storable food people, because there could come a time by leftist encouragements that nothing is being shipped. Nothing's available. Who's going to ship it? And this makes the WEF happy. So that's ultimately who these people serve.
Yep.
Because they want 90% of the people gone. The WF is on the record saying it. So
this is why I've been pushing the training. You know, you can have all the stuff you want, man. If you don't know how to use any of it, like if you went to Home Depot and bought every wrench and screwdriver they owned, but you don't even know the difference between a flathead and a Phillips, you're screwed. All right. It's simple. You look at the design and hopefully they'll add up and they'll match. But if you own a weapon and you've never shot it before, how are you going to fix a malfunction when it has a double feed or a triple feed, or there's a catastrophic problem and now you need another weapon and you only ever had one? Do you know how to talk to somebody and de-escalate? Do you know how to give commands verbally and not sound like a little mouse whenever you talk so that men will believe you? Because it's men are the ones who are coming across the border, okay? Let me dive down the hole real quick before we go. I have been saying this for years. I'm going to say it again. If I was going to take America, if I was going to invade it, what I would do is I would get all the nations around the world to say that America is the number one problem. They're the biggest creator of terrorism in the world. And then I would have so many embargoes and boycotts against America that I would encircle America both on the seas and also north and south of our territories. And nothing comes in, nothing comes out, just like we've done to Russia and China and Iran and other places. And then if I really wanted to, as I'm starting now to work on all of your bases around the world, I would release in Congress with a total nationwide blackout, I would release multiple biological weapons.
Yeah.
And I would let you sit and stew in that for 6 months to a year while your government fell apart, your bug out shelters fell apart, while people became desperate. You're dying from the lack of all your medications. You're dying from the gang violence. You're dying from the cults that will be rising. You're dying just from killing your neighbor so that you can have their last amount of bread. And oh, by the way, the disease is catching up. So whoever was strong is now weakened because of the disease. Remember COVID? Whoever got COVID became extraordinarily weak for days or months afterwards. It took me almost 3 to 4 weeks just to get over COVID. So, you know, you allow that to happen. And the thing with, instead of trying to roll, because I've done this, okay, instead of trying to roll your army into a mass civilian population like we did in Fallujah or Ramadi. So take Fort Worth or Dallas. Instead of having to roll all my people into it, we'll just release the bioweapons into it, and that will burn you out. So by the time we're ready to come through, not only are you at a weakened state, not only has it killed anyone who was not ready for that virus, but my men see you as the new walking zombie plague virus. And if they get near you, then they're going to get the bioweapon and they surely shall die. So in their mind is immediately to shoot all survivors. People are pawns at this game, and it's easy to pit people against one another. And that is exactly what China has been doing. That is exactly what the communists have been doing. BRICS nations have slowly started to surround us. Canada might as well come out and say they're a BRICS nation member, because they absolutely are. And I guess so is Joe Biden. But here's the problem. The problem is you're going to have such a breakdown in communication, logistics, movements, water, food, shelter, heat, God forbid, when the winter starts. And which side does law enforcement line up to? Which side does the military and the National Guard line up to? Are you going to have a completely leftist side of the military, a completely right-wing conservative side of the military? And who the hell takes charge of the air bases, the naval bases, the Marine Corps bases, the Army bases, the nuclear bases? Once you start,
that's a later problem, Doug.
It is, but it all,
because you know what those bases are going to do
together.
If the pathogens are spreading, the bases will shut down.
They will. Here's the thing that you can't have. You cannot have, it's like, we will not allow this to happen to Russia. You cannot have Russia be in the middle of a civil war, a rebellion, where you have all the thugs and gangs and the police and the military are all pitted against each other, and then have 5,000 to 7,000 nuclear weapons with no one knowing who knows how to fire off the weapons. That's why I said the moment Russia is declared to be in a civil war, probably within 96 hours, the United Nations or NATO is going to release their information, probably to start the invasion, because you can't allow those nukes to be released, right? America's no different. America's no different. We are going to be taken down eventually, like how we did Iraq, because it worked.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Well, I think we've explored this long enough. I will add one more thing. I remember in 2012, in various places in the country, San Diego stands out. You mentioned rabies, that rare rabies disorder. Remember when they had the drills where they pretended to shoot down zombie-like people? Do you remember that?
Yeah, DHS.
DHS was involved in that, along with the military. That was on an island off the coast of San Diego.
Riddle me this, Batman. Why would you mix rabies and Ebola?
To create a frenetic, pathogenic subject that would go to and fro in a crazed state and expose more people.
I mean, I don't see any medical good from this at all, but that's isn't that the main part of the whole story? There's no benevolence here. It's all malevolent.
No, if you believe that the originators are serving Satan, it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come to a close on this. And yes, this is shocking. I would encourage you to go to thecommonsenseshow.com. And I would encourage you to put in Crucell Laboratory, C-R-U-C-E-L-L, Ebola patent for the CDC, the 2014 immigration, border issues. That's all covered. A lot of what we talked about tonight, you know, I saw this coming. Unfortunately, it was 9 years ago. And you know, it's kind of funny, Doug, my phone's really starting to ring, because what I wrote 9 years ago and 7 years ago, people want me to come on the air and talk about it now. I was a lunatic then. Now they want me on their radio shows.
Of course.
So yeah, full cycle. Okay. You know, Mike Adams said that to me once when he had me on InfoWars. Gosh, that was about 2019, 2020. He said, yeah, Dave, everyone made fun of you when you were talking about Russians and Chinese on American soil and in Mexico. He goes, ain't no one laughing now. You want to come on the show? And it just, folks, all you got to do is follow the data and not worry about what people are going to say. This has been a plan that's been in the works for a while. In fact, think about this. Obama started this crap. He was totally moving this forward with the assumption Hillary would be president. We got a four-year reprieve because Donald Trump was president. Biden's picking up where Obama left off. It's that simple.
God help us.
We gained 4 years, and now we got a monster in the White House. Well, anyway, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you back here again next time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you sleep well. We'll see you later.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.